I brought with
me. Why don't we go from earliest?
Four fingers, which I always do. Okay.
So she has three, but four fingers.
Well, I have.
She has four fingers and one thumb. Two thumbs. Okay, so thumbs up. That was a terrible.
Yeah, no, it's bad. If we were drinking or smoking, this would make sense. But it's like so clean in here. It's
I know. I'm drinking. Okay. I'm not drinking. Let's go from early to later. So Allie Willis is an amazing and accomplished songwriter, and she's absolutely amazing. And you have some demos from some songs.
The earliest would be Boogie Wonderland, which was, of course, Earth, Wind, and Fire with the Emotions. Mm-hmm. And I should probably do a little setup to this. So
go ahead.
It's in context for everyone. I had been at Maurice White, who founded Earth, Wind, and Fire, called me in 1978. I had been working with Verdeen White, who was the bass player of the group. And
dreamy.
Like the greatest bass player alive.
He just pours himself into a pair of pants.
That is for sure. And you saw that only a month ago, right?
It's true.
So so Verdeen told Maurice about me. Maurice called me up, asked me if I wanted to write the next Earth, Wind, and Fire album with him, which was amazing because I was getting songs cut, but nothing to indicate that Earth, Wind, and Fire, would be next.
Yeah.
And this was in 1978, and I co-wrote everything but two songs on the I Am album, which Boogie Wonderland was on. Mm-hmm. But the very first song that we wrote together was September, and that was written to go on the Greatest Hits album. They wanted an original single for that. So I wrote September with Maurice and Al McKay, and then we started on the rest of the songs, which were to be on I Am. And John Lind, who had written Sun Goddess, Earth, Wind, and Fire a few years before, we started writing together, and we wrote Boogie Wonderland. We didn't write it with the group at all. And we took it to Maurice. He loved the song. He was cutting it with another group, which we were heartbroken about. And we just kept begging him, like, please just keep the song for yourself, keep the song for yourself. So anyway, needless to say, finally he kept the song for himself. But we wrote this, I think it was March, because I saved the dates of everything. It was March 27th and 28th, or 28th and 29th, 1978. And it was originally called, the very, very first working title before we finished the song was Johnny's Casino Lounge.
Really?
Yeah, because everyone was using, I think I told some of this story on the first show we did, but it'll be better because you'll hear the demo this time. Everyone was using the word boogie in a song, 1978. Mm-hmm. And I was really conscious about never doing what everyone else was doing. So we kept discussing other ways we could use the word boogie, as opposed to, boogie on down or whatever. And I just seen the movie Looking for Mr. Goodbar with Diane Keaton.
Yes.
And she was going to the disco every night, bringing strange guys home, and, eventually was it like a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, what kind of person is so desperate that loses themselves to such a large degree that they drive themselves into this club and therefore into this state of mind? And what she was doing was escaping her life, basically, by dancing every night. So we thought, Boogie Wonderland, that's a state of mind that someone enters into.
Definitely.
When they enter a club.
Right.
They're like this altered person. So,
true.
So the song is actually about someone who is excessively at a danger point, really, in their life. Because the first verse, which, everyone knows the lyrics, but no one knows the lyrics.
No, you're absolutely right about that.
So it's a very bleak, actually, first verse. It's midnight creeps so slowly into hearts of men who need more than they get. Daylight deals a bad hand to a woman who's laid too many bets. You say your prayer, though you don't. You say your prayers, though you don't care. Oh God, I fucked it up. You say your prayers, though you don't care. You dance to shake the hurt. Dance Boogie Wonderland, Dance Boogie Wonderland. Sounds fly through the night. I chase my vinyl dreams to Boogie Wonderland. I find romance when I start to dance in Boogie Wonderland. Then the chorus, we want it to be excessively uplifting. You know, like that euphoria you feel.
Yeah, yeah.
And that,
that's amazing.
And that turns into a real Broadway melody, kind
of. It does.
All the love in the world can't be gone. All the need to be loved can't be wrong. All the records are playing and my heart keeps saying Boogie Wonderland. So,
wow.
So when this demo... I was very upset about the record when I finally heard it. And I heard it all along because we were going to all the sessions. But it changed the construction of the song. We wrote it as a real song with a verse, a chorus, a verse, a chorus, a breakdown, yeah. B section out. Earth, Wind, and Fire recorded it really as an extended groove. Which I thought, oh my God, the meaning of the record is lost.
Gone, and, you know, yeah.
It really wasn't until years later when I heard it as an oldie when I went, what a great fucking record. You know? So this is very different.
Yes.
I'm still unbelievably attached to this version.
Okay.
Though everyone hearing it is going to like throw up. No. And
nobody out there throw up, people.
I will say, I can't remember the guy's name, but it was a really famous drummer who was playing on the demo of it. And I didn't want any hi-hat on there at all, because that was another thing that marked every single...
Pea soup. Pea soup.
You know. And the guy... was like, you know, it was before I had like huge records, so the guy was like, who the fuck is this chick? And he kept like playing the thing. So John Lynn finally walked out into the studio. John's like a burly guy, you know, and physically lifted the hi-hat up and left the studio with the hi-hat, you know. So
that's great.
Anyway, so here, let me get this up here. So this is John singing lead.
Okay, we're gonna plug this into your iPod.
Well, wait, first let me make sure I got the right here. Go
oh,
into
here we
this
go.
One.
Okay.
John singing lead, me and Arnold McCullough are singing background.
Wonderful. Here we go, folks. It's Boogie Wonderland, the demo.
Well, yes, if I can.
You got it.
Here we go.
Into hearts of men who need more than they get. They like
Okay, this is amazing.
There it is.
That is great.
Still absolutely adore that version, swear to God.
It's a great version. I really don't know. I just like it. There's something organic about it that is cool.
Well, it's more of a song and less of a groove. And of course, stripped down because it's a demo.
But. Yeah. Speaking of stripped down, at that party of yours that you had for Ellie Willis Museum of Kitsch, by the way, that's awmok.com. We're going to talk about that
in just a little while. It's a mini social network built around the absolutely crazy things that people collect.
It's true.
I turned it down. Yikes. Yeah.
So we were at this party, and as we said to you before, who was there? It was Verdine White
the Earth, Wind & Fire bass player forever and ever, and Larry Dunn, phenomenal keyboard player.
So we're all basically so Allie's idea was to have Earth, Wind & Fire karaoke, and they were supposed to be kind of special guests who would show up.
Well, wait, here's the thing.
Okay.
It's a very important thing.
Okay.
That party happened on the 21st of September.
Yes.
Which is the opening line of
Do you remember?
The 21st night of September.
I do.
So it was going to be anyone who wanted to sing karaoke of September.
Yeah.
That Verdine and Larry would actually play it.
Well, we didn't know that Verdine was coming, though.
No, that was a surprise.
So, okay, let me just tell you. I'm going to tell you the story quickly because I want to get back to Allie's music. But the first woman who had a crack at the karaoke was...
Lunel.
And you know Lunel as... if you saw Borat, okay, Lunel was the prostitute.
The brilliantly prostitute.
And this woman is hilarious. She's hilarious. She's brilliant.
She also opens all the Cat Williams tours.
She's really incredible. And if you just indulge me for 1 second, I want to get to that. Where did
the singing, but the karaoke of September.
I may not be able to get to that, but I want to tell the story. There it is. Hold on 1 second. I'm just going to play a second of it.
Well, do you want to play? There's three parts of it.
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play these. I'm going to have to give you guys the link.
If you go to YouTube, you search for Allie, A-L-L-E-E, Willis, plus, Earth, Wind, and Fire, or Lunel,
you'll find
Boogie
it.
Wonderland.
There are three parts. It is absolutely brilliant. Okay, so Lunel gets up there, and she starts telling a story about, I went to go see Earth, Wind, and Fire with my girlfriends, and we were all on mescaline, and blah, 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 and, we're all just, cracking up. Is just amazing. And she sings with them.
And she's so excited. She really was dying.
At one point she says, I feel like I'm at the Make-A-Wish Foundation. It was so funny. And if you absolutely go see that, it's on YouTube, Earth, Wind, and Fire, plus Allie Willis, you'll find it. It's on there. And I think you might see me in there.
Oh, yeah, you're in there dancing.
I'm in there,
she's punching
my hair up in the...
Boogie Wonderland.
Yeah, it was. It was great. All right, do you want to play us another demo?
Yes. Okay. Let's go to... I need to find it on one of my multiple devices here.
Okay.
Let me go back here.
That was such a great night. Such a great mix of people were there. And Allie's... Kitsch, I want to tell you, her Kitsch collection is really brilliant, and she's got a huge
soul
collection. Yeah. First of all, let me just say, I walk into the gallery, and the first thing I see is a Grand Funk Railroad 7-Eleven Slurpee cup from the 70s that, by the way, remember when Slurpees were a normal size? The cup is a real...
Now it's like a locomotive.
It's like this huge thing. Then it was you could actually... Don Brewer's afro. That's the coolest thing. So she also has Beatles pantyhose. But the best thing was the soul pantyhose that the color of which is off black.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let that sink in.
Touch a soul pantyhose, but the shade is off
black. Off black.
And also the Supremes white bread.
Oh,
there too. Yeah.
So. All right, set us up for the next.
So this is the demo for Neutron Dance, which was from the Beverly Hills Cops. For which I won a Grammy.
Hey, now.
It was originally written for, it was not written for Beverly Hills Cop. It was written for a movie called Streets of Fire. It was Joel Silver's first movie as a producer.
Yes.
And they wanted a song. There was a nuclear holocaust, and, you know, of course, the one romantic couple escapes, and they get on the one bus that exists, you know, in the world.
Well, yeah,
and there was supposed to be a old black kind of doo-wop band on the in the back of the bus.
Yeah,
and so we were supposed to write a song for the black band to be singing, the black singers. So I wrote it with Danny Cimbello, who was the younger brother of Michael Cimbello, Maniac. Yeah. And Danny had just gotten a publishing contract.
He was a trainiac.
So I had never written, co-written with anyone before.
Right.
And I, like, wasn't in the mood, and I didn't want to do it. And he came over, and I just said, I have a half an hour. Like, whatever we write in a half an hour, we're going to do. And just, he's a phenomenal keyboard player. Just play the most derivative black bass line from the 50s that you can think of. And he immediately started playing boom, 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 boom. And I, like, really wanted to get on with the day. So I hummed that melody immediately. That was kind of a one-take melody. And we had the music and the lyrics honestly finished in 32 minutes.
Well, let's hear it. Play it for us.
But right wait, now. There's a crucial thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That in the middle of writing it, I looked out of my front window, and I had a pink Corvair, and someone was breaking into the car. They had a screwdriver and were trying to pop the lock. And so I tear out of my recording studio, which is in one of my bedrooms, and as I'm racing to the front door to, like, go tell the person to stop, I scream the line, someone stole my brand new Chevrolet. I mean, that was just that was just a line.
That's what came out of your mouth?
And it fit so, yes, and it fits so completely.
Who
perfectly.
Says Chevrolet out loud?
When you own a Corvair, you're very, you know, you take pride in the Chevrolet name. So, someone stole my brand new Chevrolet.
That's a great meter there.
Anyway, it was an incredibly autobiographical song. I was not in the best state of mind at that time in my life, so the song is on the nose. And then they didn't accept it in Streets of Fire. It
was How dare they?
Yeah, it was on the Pointer Sisters album, but not a single. And they put it in as temp music, which is what a music supervisor does, just puts in music that feels good, then they send it out to the songwriters and composers, and you know, you try and give them that kind of feel. So anyway, they tried to replace that song because they couldn't own the publishing on it, because it had been, you know, out already, and they never found a song that was better to replace it, which is a whole other story, because I have other stuff in Beverly Hills Cop. But so they ended up leaving Neutron Dance in, and literally on the line, someone stole my brand new Chevrolet, this cigarette truck that Eddie Murphy is hiding in the back of, and swinging through the streets of Detroit, my hometown, which I did not know until I went and saw the movie. And on someone stole my brand new Chevrolet, the truck slams into a Chevy, slams into it. And on the line, I'm just burning doing the Neutron Dance. That was the first time there was a huge explosion. So it's like I could not have scored a song better.
No, seriously. I mean, that's perfect. Sometimes that's how it works, though, with music supervision. Like, you just get it in there. But I really want you to write a song about how Eddie Murphy's career exploded. So if you could work on something like that, that'd be great. In the meantime, we're going to hear the demo now of Neutron Dance from almost Streets of Fire, but we know it for Beverly Hills
Cop. Last thing that I should say is it was the first demo or anything that I ever engineered myself.
Oh, interesting.
And the master to this day is on cassette, because I could not figure out how to work the reel-to-reel or make copies. So every time anyone needed a copy of this, including what's on here,
make a tape,
it's like a 97,000th generation away from the original. Okay, here we go.
Like Eddie Murphy himself.
Neutron Dance.
Okay, let me know when you're going. Here we go. This is a demo for Neutron Dance. I'll leave the mic sound on.
Well, put it up enough or it won't happen.
time to stop and get away. Cause I work so hard to make it every day. Woo-hoo.
This is great.
Thank you very much.
I love it. I actually like this better. I think it's got a nice sparse quality, man.
Demos are always better than the record.
It's true.
I mean, I don't think I'm saying that just because I'm a songwriter. There's an honesty. There's a rawness.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have control over how you actually want it to sound.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
it's how you hear the song.
It's great. You are now listening to Neutron Dance Demo. Exclusive here on the Crystal Telephone.
Arnold McCullough on lead.
There you go.
And I think me and Arnold.
I think I was on Triangle on this session. You remember?
Oh yeah, was there? Way back when.
Remember that?
I remember.
I was the best triangle in the business.
Actually, okay? the lead. Oh my God, the lead instrument on this.
Yeah.
Because I also didn't know how to plug in any of my synths, was a Casio Tone MT-65, which is what Larry Dunn was playing.
Nice.
That's what we left out about the footage. It wasn't just that they were there playing. They were playing on the kitschiest instruments that I own.
It's like a step up from Simon, Allie.
I mean, there were, you know, missing keys on the keyboard, a bass with three strings.
Yeah, but you can get a good sound out of that.
You
stuff.
Certainly can.
All right, well, speaking of good sounds, I'm going to play, we're going to do another set of soul classics. What do you think about that?
I love it.
Here's what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you right now what we're going to do. It's going to happen right now. I'm hoping it's going to happen, but I'm getting the, hold on, here it comes. Yeah. Rachel Sagittarius. We're going to play a little jam called Float On, Float On. Yeah.
And my name is Ray. Now I like a woman who loves her freedom. And I like a woman who can hold her own. And if you fit that description, baby, come with me. Take my hand. Come with me, baby. Love me. Let me show you how.
Charles. Now I like a woman that's quiet. A woman who carries herself like Miss Universe.
Keep the Chicago groove going now with Harvey, Illinois' own The Dells.
Won't you let me love you?
world is empty without you, babe. Alright, if you're listening to the Crystal Telephone, the Soul Phone right now, I want you to get on the chat room and give me your soul request, baby. It's me and Allie Willis.
That's
and
right.
Then we are playing all the soul hits for you. And coming up right now is a little song that we call, that's right, Bayin' Out. It's The Impressions, because I'm a fool for you. I'm a fool for all of you.
Stone, and I hate the misery. Then you came along into my life, destroying me more, mounting up the toil and strife. But I'm a fool for you. I'm a fool. So continuously, I don't know why I love you like I do. When you're breaking my heart, and you know it's true, but I'm a fool. Child, I'm here to stay, 'cause I'm a fool for you.
Attention, Zeltrixa is currently seeking participants with stretch marks. If you have stretch marks due to weight gain, pregnancy, even bodybuilding,
I don't have stretch marks.
Results and participate in the Zeltrixa trial. Zeltrixa was introduced to improve skin.
Zeltrixa
has now been shown to dramatically reduce the size and depth of stretch marks on any area of the body. It effectively fades even very dark stretch marks as it repairs the damaged skin. To participate in the Celtrixa trial and see results risk-free, call 1-800-927-3210. Stretch marks can mar and damage the skin, making the body look unattractive. But right now, you can join the thousands of people who have seen stretch marks diminish and fade, watched as ugly zipper-like marks began to repair themselves. Participate in this trial by calling today. If you're serious about getting rid of your stretch marks, you are eligible to participate and experience results with Celtrixa. Call this number today, 1-800-927-3210. Once more, that's 1-800-927-3210.
Begin a new and exciting career and get a raise. How? Career training opportunities. Specialized career learning at a career college near you or online. College Bound Network Advisors will help you find the right school for you. Training is fast, convenient, and flexible. Degrees, diplomas, certificate programs available for career advancement. Just call us. The call and the service is free. Call us now at 1-800-915-9503. The College Bound Network. That's 1-800-915-9503. 1-800-915-9503.
All right, you are listening to the Crystal Telephone, and I'm here with Allie Wells tonight, and we're playing all your grooviest soul requests. In the meantime, Allie, could you please tell the people a little bit about your websites, which are amazing and absolutely incredible? She's got a whole, I can't even explain it to you. You basically, you have to go to AWMOK, that stands for Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch. com. I'm looking at some of the soul kitsch that you have right now.
Well, let me explain. Am I on the
air? Yeah, now you're on the air.
First of all, I've been on the web since 1991. I've addressed Congress on cyberspace, designed a social network in 1992, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So my AllieWillis.com itself has a section called the Soul Patch. Which has a lot of my personal soul memorabilia. And I have, as far as I know, the largest collection of soul memorabilia, specifically 1960s and 1970s. And James Brown, who I used to work with, who really encouraged me to continue collecting the stuff because there wasn't wide distribution on any of it. There wasn't, you know, enough money. If you made a, you know, thing in Cleveland, it wasn't going to go farther than Detroit. So, anyway, so if you go to Allie Willis, AllieWillis.com, and hit the Soul Patch, there's a lot of stuff I think this audience is going to be interested in, and also on the in the music section.
Yeah.
But the Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch, which is AWMOK.com, that has the best of my collection plus submissions that everyone makes, and that stuff is like blowing my
mind. It's really great. And also, I mean, the thing is about Allie's websites is that you go on one and they're all interconnected, and you basically, you're in a hole for 3 hours. I swear to God, I couldn't even, I was like, God, there is so much to see. She's got so many amazing like links and just party pictures and the kitsch is just out of sight, people. It's uptight, out of sight.
But some of this stuff that's been submitted is great. And again, it's a social network, so the conversations start up around these insane objects.
And if you have something that you'd like to submit to the Museum of Kitsch, please send it to awmok.com.
Well, if you go there, there's a little link that, you know, you register and really like an idiot can do it. It's a name and a password and that's it.
Yeah.
And and then you upload the pictures the same way you would to any, you know, website, and then conversations start around these. But yes, I mean, it's specifically there so people other than me contribute.
It's about a community, a collective of people who have really great stuff that is, you know, just amazing and rare, and you are so open to having just everybody send it in.
It's like, you know, James Brown whistles and Isaac Hayes bobbleheads, you know, Sammy Davis Jr.'s drums are on there. Like, incredible stuff.
That's amazing. Okay. Well, we're going to play. We've got 10 minutes left of the Crystal Telephone.
I must say one thing.
Yeah?
In that
you love
me
or no?
I do love you. Okay. I absolutely love you.
I'm just checking. Okay.
And you have a wealth of information and resources on soul music unlike any other person I've ever seen. And trust me, I know my stuff.
I know you do, because you have a wealth of talent.
I would like to put one more personal plug in.
Go on.
And that is that I am the co-author of the musical version of The Color Purple.
I just gasped.
Which...
I just gave a little gasp there because...
And it's coming back to Los Angeles for 3 weeks only at the Fantasia, starring Fantasia.
Love it.
And I cannot tell you, A, how brilliant of a show it is. And I'm someone who hates musicals, so trust me, this has to be good. but she is so wonderful as Celie that the hair is going to fall off your head.
No, she really is Celie. Like... She is more Celie than Whoopi Goldberg was ever Celie. That's all I'm saying about Fantasia Barrino. I just want to say, I followed her on Idol.
She is like a limp washcloth by the end of the night. There's nothing.
She's got to be. How exhausting must that be emotionally for her?
And it's a very...
Brilliant.
I co-wrote the music with Brenda Russell and Stephen Bray, and it's a... it is not an easy score for someone to sing. You know, it's not the singing in the show, and the show is about 75% music.
Yeah.
The singing is outrageous. Every person in that cast is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of the original Broadway cast.
Well, I'm going.
So at the Pantages.
If you guys want to go with me, it's at the Pantages in February. I think that's a great, what a great way to spend Valentine's Day crying over...
Yes. Yes.
Over African-American pain and suffering in the 1930s.
But such a triumphant story. No, 1909 to 1949.
I said 30s.
Unbelievably triumphant.
Okay, it is very triumphant. Okay, we can't all be Shug Avery in life, okay? All right, by request, in 1 second, actually, I'm going to play Love's Gone Bad by Chris Clark. This is out to Gary Schneider in the chat room. You guys have a lot of requests. And I'm sorry, I can't play them all because I've got 10 minutes left. And that's all. We're out of time, Allie. You're going to have to come back again.
I can go for my McDonald's.
Who thinks... Oh, God. Oy vey. Hold on. Who thinks Allie should come back again?
Allie does.
Yeah. Although next week, I'll be back playing...
The Association.
That's right. So please...
like Wendy, the Association?
That's right.
Windy,
the windiest,
Cherish,
and then also I'll be playing
the Beach Boys.
I just want to use all these little embedded things as I can. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Clark, Love's Gone Bad. That can't be good. Hold on, that wasn't it. Don't listen. Now listen. That's right, people. It's the Crystal Telephone. Can't have a soul show without the strut, babes.
Foot 2 inches of black beauty. She handles a car like a gun.
Yeah.
She handles a gun like a man.
Yeah.
And she handles a man.
Yeah.
Like Cleopatra. Cleopatra Jones. She's hunting for the head of the most vicious crime syndicate ever conceived. Shelley Winters. Ms. Big.
I'll take care of Cleopatra Jones.
And Cleopatra Jones is going to put her on a permanent diet. Tamara Dotson is Cleopatra Jones. She drives a custom vet, wears clothes by St. Angelo, and is a connoisseur of freedom and fine men. Cleopatra Jones with Bernie Casey and music by Joe Simon and Billy Jackson. From Warner Brothers, rated PG.
You are listening to the Crystal Telephone. Going late night, people. That's right. Stick around for more soul classics. It's Billy Preston.